Coming up next, what Elon Musk exposes about successful people, and then should your company and others be doing business with Russia? Uber drivers quitting? And of course, we take your calls, and it starts right now. All right, folks, welcome to the Ken Coleman Show, where we help you win at work and at life. You were created to contribute relationally and professionally, and we focus on both areas because they should be connected so that you live a life of significance. Let's go. Let's dive into a very current issue and current people. Elon Musk, the billionaire founder of Tesla. By the way, I'm not a fan of the cars. There's an unpopular opinion. Didn't plan to say that, but it's true. I've ridden in them. I've got a couple friends who have them. First of all, I don't like the way they look. I just don't. I don't think they look particularly nice. They perform well. But, you know, to me, I don't want to just drive in a fancy spaceship. I want to like the way the car looks. But full disclosure here before I continue with the teaching on this little distraction moment. I'm a classic car guy. The classic cars look good. And now every car is starting to look the same, like a future spaceship. There's my two cents on it. But Elon Musk, a billionaire a few times over, right? Many times over. Who knows? Changes day to day. So what does he expose about successful people? Because we have a world now where a lot of people are anti-success. Now, they never say that, but they demonstrate it when they take shots at rich people. So what does Elon Musk expose about successful rich people? Well, let's just see what he's up to in this whole Ukrainian war crisis. So you may have seen this in the news. Shortly after Putin invades Ukraine, one of the many negatives that fell out of that whole situation was that Ukraine lost their internet connection. So they're trying to survive. That's one of the ways they do it. They couldn't communicate with the outside world. So a guy by the name of Mykhailo Fedorov, who's a Ukraine government official. Do we have the graphic for this? We've got the tweet here for those of you viewing the show. So you can see there, he reaches out to Elon Musk on Twitter. While you try to colonize Mars, he writes, Russia try to occupy Ukraine, exclamation point. While your rockets successfully land from space, Russian rockets attack Ukrainian civil people. We ask you to provide Ukraine with Starlink stations and to address sane Russians to stand. Elon Musk replies, and this is how you know we're living in the future, folks. This is all on Twitter. Put that back up there. He replies, one sentence, Starlink service is now active in Ukraine. More terminals in route. Okay, now this is it. What I don't see from the Ukrainian officials what time that post was, but it's the same day he responds. And by the way, what's great about Musk's response is he doesn't reply, I'll work on it. He doesn't reply until he's actually moved the satellites in space that he owns. SpaceX is his space exploration company. So Elon Musk, the greedy billionaire who's made too much money to add value to anybody, literally in one move gets his satellites repositioned over Ukraine for the country of Ukraine to have internet. It's pretty mind-boggling. I mean, what's that conversation like? I'm one of these guys, I don't know if you're like me people, but I like to envision what that whole conversation was like. Does he see the tweet himself from the Ukrainian government official? Probably. Does somebody in a social media team email him, let him know? What happens then? He looks at the tweet, he goes, huh, do they know something I don't know? Oh yeah, let's just do this. Who does he call? How long does the conversation last? I can tell you all this happened pretty quickly. And with a snap of the finger, Elon Musk and his greedy billionaire awfulness restores internet to the country of Ukraine. Now, I'm having some fun with this because quite frankly, as a guy who I will never sniff a billionaire status, that I'm unaware of how it's going to happen. I'm okay. But I'm tired of people that have been very successful and as a result have made crazy amounts of money. I'm tired of them being vilified as if they should give all of their wealth away to the less fortunate. When in all reality, they do give and they keep giving. So what does Elon Musk expose? Tongue firmly planted in cheek? That when you reach the mountaintop, you're in a much better place to make a difference. We can all make a difference where we are. Understand that. We can all make a difference regardless of how much money we have on our bank account. And by the way, you know this, if you've been listening or watching this show for any amount of time, I believe we were all created to contribute. Not just relationally, but professionally. You were created to fill a unique role. You were needed. You must do it. Let me say it again. It's the entire theme of the show. You were created to fill a unique role. You were needed. You must do it. There are people out there in this world that need the gifting that you can offer. I don't think it's an option. I think it's a duty. But having said that, when you reach your mountaintop, which is what I'm here to help you do, you reach that professional pinnacle, you're in your sweet spot, you are using what you do best, your talent, to do work you love, passion, to produce results that matter to you. Mission, you can do it at a greater level. I wish that I had the ability to own a satellite and all that comes with that, but I don't. But he does. So, leveraging your resources now and later is the whole point of the story. The greater the resources, the greater the give. This is what I see. I understand there are some really evil rich people, but by and large, rich people have a huge heart. And interestingly enough, they were givers along the way. They didn't just become givers when they got tremendous wealth. And so the point to all of us is, how can we leverage our resources, financial, relational? How can we leverage what resources we have? Time, talent, treasure. How can we leverage what we have now? It's not just for the rich and the powerful to give. It is for all of us. So I want to ask you, do you have any motivation for the work you're doing today other than the paycheck and the responsibilities that you have that the paycheck funds? Is that your primary motivation? If it is, there's a reason why you have to pull yourself up by your bootstraps on Monday morning and you can't wait for Friday afternoon. Coming up next, here's the question that we need to truly process. I'm going to give it to you next. I'm going to make you hold on to it because I think if we answer this, we truly win in work and in life. That's next. All right, folks, welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show. So before we went to our last break, I teased it. What is the most important question we need to be asking ourselves as it relates to our professional life? And it has a personal connection. Here it is. What are the results that I want to produce in the world? What do you want to produce? You could use the word create, but that's the question. By the way, it's the secret to understanding what motivates you. By the way, if you're new to the show and you've not heard me talk about talent, passion, and mission, the three elements that every human being has and must be aware of and then must be in alignment to live and work on purpose. Talent's what we do best. passion, work we love to do. We love it. We love the work. Whether that be something that is more mental or physical in nature. You know, I know some old guys that I really believe are true craftsmen. They work with their hands. They work with their hands for a long time. You could see the results of all that work. Their hands are gnarled, scarred, beaten up. One of my favorite old mechanics, one of my dad's mechanics, my dad got me into classic cars as a kid, and I had this old guy that named Nelson that did all his work. And Nelson also came to our church, and I'd see Nelson during the week sometimes when I'd ride with my dad to go to his mechanic shop, and I'd see him at church on Sunday, and Nelson looked totally different, except for one thing. So greasy Nelson during the week, and glittery, or whatever you call it. Boy, he'd hate that. He'd hate that I used the word glittery right there. I'm not sure where that came from. But glorified Nelson, right? He's in his Sunday best. And he was totally different, except for one thing. Anybody want to take a guess what was the same about Nelson? Even after he'd showered and scrubbed up, lady out in the lobby gets it, his fingernails. Because Nelson had been working on cars and engines for so long, they would have literally had to pluck his fingernails to get the grease out. He smelled good. He looked good. But those fingernails bore the evidence of a craftsman. And I talk about talent, passion, and mission. Passion's love of the work. Nelson loved working on an engine and fixing it. But watch this. Mission's the final element. And mission is speaking to the results that motivate you to show up to work. Now, he loved working on engines, but Nelson, while he loved solving a mechanical problem, that was passion. You know what his mission was? Happy customers who could drive their car as long as possible to get from point A to B. Satisfaction. Service was his missional driver. So if Nelson wasn't working on fixing some type of mechanical problem to serve others, he wouldn't have enjoyed it as much. If he'd been left alone, he never had any contact, and it was in some warehouse, and he never saw the human element, it would have bothered him. I just know this about Nelson, and that's why we teach talent plus passion plus mission equals purpose. So mission is the result or results that motivate us. There is intrinsic motivation and extrinsic motivation. Intrinsic motivation is what I'm talking about with mission. When I tell my kids they got to clean their room, the only reason they clean their room is to either get the reward of being able to do something or to avoid the punishment that I'm going to dole out. That's extrinsic motivation. That's not real motivation. Getting up at 5 a.m. to work out, there's something driving that inside. That's intrinsic motivation. You don't have to do it. You want to do it, right? So that's the idea behind mission. And so the question we pose for you, whether you're an Elon Musk, a billionaire or not, it doesn't matter. What results do you want to put into the world through your work? What results do you want to produce? Is it about people problems? Is it process problems? Is it thing problems? Is it idea problems? I mean, at the end of the day, we all want to solve problems. We all want to make a difference. And so you need to understand that having a missional driver is huge in your life. And when you figure out the mission of your work, woo, watch out. Watch out. There's no stopping you. And by the way, a little commercial to young people that are listening, your teens and 20s, parents of these kids, stop freaking out. Stop freaking out, trying to figure out this unbelievable, insurmountable mountaintop, and just start to ask yourself, who are the people I want to help? The problem I want to solve? The solution I want to provide? Repeat over and over again. Parents, help your kids see this. When they see it, it's over. Understanding what drives a person, missional drivers. So there you go. All right. But a lot of buzz lately around the internet. I'm seeing it everywhere. Social media, internet, about this guy, Phil from ZipRecruiter. A lot of thank you, Phils, flying all over the place. Anthony said, Phil sent me jobs I was a great match for. So I knew something good was going to happen, and it did. That, Phil, sounds like somebody you want your corner, especially for an easier, higher quality job search. What job can Phil help you discover? Go check him out at My Friends, the number one hiring site in the country, and it's free to you. I'm not selling you anything. ZipRecruiter.com. ZipRecruiter.com. All right, let's break the headlines down in the news. All right, this is no surprise. Uber Lyft drivers consider quitting as pain at the pump grows. Oh, boy. I mean, you think about the wear and tear these people put on their cars. I mean, it gives them a lot of freedom, and I've talked to a lot of Uber and Lyft drivers over the last couple years as I've been to major cities doing media and things of that nature, and they all love the freedom, but the one thing they all gripe about is the wear and tear on the car, the mileage, and everything else. Well, now add gas prices to that. So both companies, Uber and Lyft, this month announced a 55 cent per ride surcharge that would be paid directly to the drivers. And this is obviously in response to the drivers' gripes about the growing gas prices. So 55 cent per ride. Doesn't matter whether it's a 2 minute ride or a 20 minute ride. They're giving them a 55 cent bump. But if it's a 20 minute ride, the 55 cent bump's not doing much at all. If anything, they surveyed a popular blog followed by these rideshare drivers by the name of Rideshare Guy. Survey of over 300 drivers conducted by this blog showed that 15% of these Uber and Lyft drivers had already quit, and nearly 40% were dialing back and driving less. Lyft, though, looked at their own internal analysis and showed that their drivers in the United States were spending on average 75 cents more on gas per hour. And despite that increase in gas, they were earning more per hour than they were a year ago when the pandemic dimmed demand for rideshare. So you kind of got this weird deal going on. You've got gas prices going up for the moment. They're already starting to drop as we come to you today. I think they'll continue to drop as we see the price of oil drop, and it has precipitously. So these things take a few weeks to cycle out. But the pandemic obviously killed all the major traffic on rideshare. Now that's come back. So it's not all doom and gloom. And Uber has lifted its profit forecast earlier this month on faster than expected growth. So why do I share these stories with you? I only share news stories that are relevant to you in your career and your working decisions. A lot of you, if you're trying to pay off debt, if you can do the rideshare, do it. But it's I think people sometimes freak out and quit too easily. I think it's the moral of the story. Yeah, it stinks that gas prices have risen. Well, adjust your budget. Adjust your rides. I ran out of time on this. I'm going to touch on this Russia story next. Companies, should they do business with Russia? How's it affecting the Russia people? There's a lot to this. We'll get to this and your calls next. All right, folks, welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show. Thrilled to have you with us, helping you win at work and at life. Alex, the producer, is in my ear. Where is that at, Alex? Oh, okay, we got a fun comment in the chat room here on YouTube from Milka Ortiz. Has Ken done his paper flipping thing today? I think what she means is, has Ken done the paper crinkling thing today? And apparently this is very popular in certain sectors of the audience. And I usually do it when I'm trying to make a point or get into an article. So Milka wanted to know. So here it is. Now to this thing about Russia. What's going on? Ukraine, Russia, and business. And we got a lot of people that are in companies are going, hey, should we jump in on the boycott, if you will, or sanctions, of the government term would be sanctions. And it's very interesting. I'm going to get into that in a second, but a quick review here. I was reading an article today, and I thought I'd share with you, because a lot of people jumping on board. So some of the automotive companies that are now not doing business with Russia, or shall we say they've stopped it, because I can tell you this, the minute they think it becomes politically correct to do it again, they're going to. Make no mistake about this. Ford, General Motors, Harley-Davidson, Honda, Jaguar, Land Rover, Mercedes-Benz, Nissan, and the list goes on and on, Toyota, Volkswagen, Volvo. Airlines, Alaska Airlines, American Airlines, Delta Airlines, United Airlines, consumer goods, Clorox, Colgate, Palmolive, L'Oreal. That one made me laugh. Really? The Russians really like the L'Oreal? Yeah, I don't know. Philip Morris International. Those are the cigs, right? Isn't Philip Morris known for the cigarettes? By the way, anytime I can say the word cig in the show, I'm going to take the opportunity to do so, because that's like paper crinkling for me. It's one of the funniest words of all time. I don't know why it's so funny to me, but it's very funny. Procter & Gamble, equipment and manufacturing companies that are jumping out, Caterpillar, Honeywell, John Deere. Joe, this one made me happy. You and I love Southern traditions. I love it that John Deere is international. It would make me very happy to go to Russia and see a John Deere tractor in a field. That, to me, and I would immediately hear Joe Diffie's classic song, John Deere Green. If you're not a country music fan, look it up. It's a great song. Stanley Black & Decker, finance company, Citigroup, Goldman Sachs, JPMorgan Chase. And then this one made me laugh. Food and beverage companies halting business in Russia. Burger King, really? I'll get to this one. I'm going to come back to this one in a second. Coca-Cola, General Mills, Kellogg, McDonald's, PepsiCo, and Starbucks. All right, now, here's my take on this, very quick. 60 seconds or less. I do believe that sanctions can be used properly. I think they are a great deterrent at times. But when you are dealing with a dictator, understand that Putin does not care about the Russian people. And there are times where sanctions hurt the people more than they do the dictator. And in this case, I believe the rush to sanctions have hurt the Russian people tremendously. And I don't know if that helps in this situation. Now, this is not a political show. Why am I even bringing this up? Because we have a lot of small business people watch the show. People are saying, hey, Ken, I want to work for a company that's values I agree with. And we'll get ourselves all stemmed up into politics when we shouldn't be paying attention to politics. That's my very point. Not to talk politics, but to go, hey, relax a little bit. This geopolitical stuff that you hear about all the time is very complex. And if you try to make yourself central to it, it's a real problem. And I got to tell you, the best thing Burger King could do is keep serving them Whoppers to the Russian people. Putin ain't eating Whoppers. So there you go. My two cents on that. Zach is up next in Springfield, Illinois. And by the way, I've chose the Burger King example because if it came down to it, I don't eat that stuff. I really have stopped eating fast food. I rarely eat fast food. But I got to tell you, 20-year-old Ken loved him a Whopper way more than he did a Big Mac. So that's all I'm saying. Whopper with cheese, baby, every day of the week, twice on Sunday. Zach's next in Springfield, Illinois. Zach, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Thanks for taking my call. I really appreciate it.
You bet. What's up?
So I was wondering if you could help me kind of work through what I should do for my business moving forward.
Okay.
So just a little break, a little background here is I started my barbershop at the age of 19. And I'm now 37. I absolutely love what I do. As you call it, that sweet spot. I've truly found it. Business is great. I'm always busy. It kind of brings me to this question that I keep kind of wrestling with, and it's, should I bring somebody else on board? I've got all these negatives that keep running through my head. If like you bring somebody on board, they're going to run business off, or they're going to do terrible work, or not show up, or not care as much. And I guess I'm just kind of at that point where like, I don't know. I'm happy with how things are now, so should I rock the boat kind of a thing?
Okay, now that's what I wanted to know. You're really happy with things now, and I'm guessing you're happy being pretty full. I'm guessing you can't take on many more new clients, yes or no?
Yeah, it's pretty cool, yeah.
You got your own shop, or are you just renting a chair?
Yep. No, yeah, I got my own, yeah.
And you got no problem covering the rent? You're making money?
Yeah, no. Yeah, yep.
Okay, so let's flip this thing for a second. What would be the positives of bringing on another barber that you would pay, or they would pay for themselves, right? In one sense or another. What would be the positives?
They could bring in some extra business, or like as far as like just getting them through faster, maybe like guys through quicker.
Are your customers telling you right now that they'd like to be able to get their hair cut quicker and find more holes in the schedule? Are you hearing that feedback?
Yeah, to some degree. Yeah. I'm kind of getting some of that feedback. Yeah.
All right. Let me ask you this. How many of those customers would willingly let someone else they don't know cut their hair?
You know, I don't know.
Better find out.
I would assume a fair amount, yeah.
All right, great. So let's say you brought on somebody today, because you know this business better than me, so I'm not going to go through the painstaking details. We only got about 2 minutes together here.
Sure.
If you brought somebody on today and you offloaded some of the business, that means you're not increasing because you're already maxed.
Sure, sure.
So it doesn't make any sense to bring on somebody and then you re-max, because the reason you're even thinking about somebody is because you're maxed. So if you brought somebody on today and they took some of the overflow and then built their own business and they maxed out, how much more money would you make besides having a happier clientele? How much more money would you make?
Just off of the other barber coming in, you mean? Like, what would I make off of him?
Yeah.
Depends on the breakdown on how you did it, but I don't know. Maybe an extra $6,000 or $7,000 a year, maybe, something like that.
So you got to ask yourself,
somewhere around about through there.
Is it worth it? So now we start doing risk reward.
Right.
Is it worth it? You know, or is there another way to keep your current customers happy? I don't know. Is it, you know, I don't know what all you do for them. You know, I know that like I go to a salon where the lady washes my hair and conditions me before I get a cut. That's like a real perk. It's not necessary. But if that gal was too busy to do it herself, I'd tell her to hire some gal who shampoos and conditions and then gets everybody rolling. And then she, you know, so where can you be more efficient? Who helps you do that? Maybe another barber may not. I think it comes down to this. I think we simplified really the issue. The issue at hand is you want to keep your customers happy. Does it require you hiring another barber? That to me is the $1 million question, because making an extra $6,000 or $7,000 and now taking on managerial duties, trusting your clients to them, is it worth $6,000 or $7,000?
Right. That's kind of where I keep, you know,
I think the answer is no right now. Am I right?
Yeah. Yeah. That's kind of what I keep, you know.
Then you know what I wonder? I wonder if you don't do a little customer survey and just get their real feedback. I think there's a few more things you need to know, and then what would make it more enjoyable for them, where they are willing to wait or it takes a little longer. Because see, this is a very personal deal, getting your hair cut. All right, folks, I got to get out of here. Before I do, you matter. You have what it takes. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Press on.
Thanks for listening to The Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following @KenColeman.
If you enjoy this podcast, you should check out other great podcasts from the Ramsey Network, like The Dr. John Deloney Show.
Mental health challenges and hurting relationships happen to everyone, but they don't have to define you. I'm Dr. John Deloney, and I help people navigate through the messy things in their lives on the Dr. John Deloney Show. I'll walk alongside you as you face parenting, marriage, and other relationship challenges, and I'll walk alongside you as you try to connect with people, as you face depression, overcome anxiety, and learn how to change your life. Listen, I want you to be well. Listen to the Dr. John Deloney Show wherever you listen to podcasts.